Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today. Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
The Banking and Payments Federation of Ireland has announced today support measures for mortgage customers. So we know we have high interest rates. The main lenders have agreed initial eligibility criteria for customers who want to switch their home mortgage. And joined in the studio by Brian Hayes, Chief Executive of the Banking and Payments Federation. You're very welcome.
Morning, Claire.
So your announcement on switching today, I see some reaction coming in already, which we'll get to in a moment. Because changing lender now, it's as arduous really as taking out a mortgage, isn't it? So what's changing?
Well, I think there's a perception out there that if I have a mortgage in a retail credit service firm, that I can never switch. And that's not true. For a lot of people who have mortgages in credit servicing firms who are perfectly performing loans, that perception, we want to address that.
Because some people call them vulture funds, just so we know
them,
what we're talking about.
I know what you call them, yeah. Credit servicing firms, that's right. And the announcement today is significant. It's the first time ever that the Irish lending community, that's AIB, Bank of Ireland, Permanent TSB, Avant Finance Ireland and ICS Mortgages, have agreed a basic minimum initial criteria to say to those people who might be in that position to switch, from our perspective, if you're paying capital and interest and if you have a 2-year clear credit record history, there's other criteria as well, but they're business as usual. We'll be open to looking with you or your broker about how we can switch. Mm-hmm. Now, that's important for that group, Claire, who are totally performing within the retail credit service firm sector.
So as it stands, they can switch?
They can. And we have seen some switching, but it's very small. But there's a bigger group of people, which is, I think, more significant, Claire. There's a group of people. So Claire Byrne's mortgage has been transferred in a loan sale to one of these credit servicing firms. Mm-hmm. Claire Byrne has had a difficulty in the past repaying her mortgage, and she's entered into what we call an alternative arrangement. Okay,
so interest only,
and that's what I'll come to that in a moment. So she's in that position, and she's 2 years in that alternative arrangement. You're getting through that arrangement. You're sticking to the terms. At the end of that 2-year period, and assuming you're currently paying capital interest, you're back on track, as it were, the Irish banks and non-bank lenders would be happy to have a look at whether or not we could switch you. I think the important issue is not to raise expectations here, because the majority of people in credit servicing firms are either in long-term debt arrears or alternatively are in the middle of an arrangement. But the central bank has maintained, because you're going to ask me how many people we're talking about here, the central bank has maintained that about 22,000 mortgages within the 80,000 mortgages of credit servicing firms have never been non-performing. Mm-hmm. And we expect that the great majority of those will be tracker mortgages are people with pretty low balances left in their mortgages. And they may not want to switch. It's the hassle of switching, to your point. But at the same time, we as an industry have a duty to make sure we have capacity to switch people, make sure that we have dedicated teams in place, which can help either your mortgage broker or yourself directly, yeah, and make sure that we have those phone lines there to help people. So, and from today, we will.
What I'm thinking about is the person who is with one of these lenders and mm-hmm. they're paying very high interest rates. That's why they want to move. They can't afford to pay. And so they're not going to be looked at by the main lenders because they can't afford to pay. So they're still caught in that vicious circle. They want to get back into the main banks because the rate will be lower.
No, I hear you. But take that person who might be paying more. And we can talk about rates in a moment. But, you know, the current average credit service rate is 4.9%. It's not 8, 9, 10%.
That's the average.
It
doesn't represent what some people are paying, and interest rates are very high with some of those companies. You know they are.
I know, yeah, but 1%, of people are paying 8% or more. Mm-hmm. That's 1% of 80,000. That's 800 cases. There's 716,000 mortgages. That's 0.001%. We are constantly.
But those people, if they can't afford to pay that money back right now, you're saying you can't look at them. The main banks can't look at them.
We can't, because they're a non-performing loan. But if they stick to a restructure, they become a performing loan. And the important thing in this, and we spoke.
You said at the beginning you have to be repaying interest and capital in order to be considered under the switching plan.
Yes.
what if you can't afford to do that? Because the amount of money you're being charged by that credit institution is just too high.
But the amount of money you might be charged under an existing IRA by that credit institution isn't in the main 8, 9, 10%. The average is 4.9%, I'm telling you. So like, I heard you the other day with the Minister and Deputy Doherty on, you were talking about 8, 9, 10. But when you say
that's Sinn Féin's contention, isn't it?
I'm just talking about public broadcasting for a moment. We have a duty to tell people the truth and the facts. The facts are, since June of this year, the average bank mortgage rate is 3.3. The average bank non-lending bank rate is 2.7. The average bank for credit service, sorry, the average credit service rate from June is 4.9.
You're giving me averages. There are a lot of people who are on tracker mortgages with the main banks who are paying 6%.
And we have to try to work through those solutions with people. But as a minimum, we have a responsibility. And I made this very clear when I spoke to you in June when we launched our campaign about trying to provide a way through, a pathway through for people, particularly on the credit servicing side. The other, we're making two other announcements today, one around the second phase of dealing with debt. I was on your show in June where we set out this online resource for people to give them information around that. We met the minister last week and he was very clear and the government are clear about, you know, people want to pay their mortgage. I know that really, and mortgage lenders want to help them. If they're in difficulty, there is a resource to help them. We have an advertising campaign out today. And the other thing that I would mention is this, you know, Pepper started a pilot scheme with MABS. MABS do terrific work all over the country. And that pilot scheme is around if you're in difficulty and you want to speak to MABS and MABS then speak to Pepper. We have bi-weekly meetings with MABS to go through those cases. And if MABS need to get an early credit decision from Pepper, we have an escalated process. Now, what we want to
do... So they mediate.
Yes. And like MABS do terrific work. Mm-hmm. We have protocols with them on behalf of the industry. But like... I'm sure if I was MABS, I'd be very frustrated if I couldn't get an early decision from Pepper. We've now tried to resolve that with Pepper and we're trying to do the same for every other credit service firm.
And have the lending institutions noticed an uptick in the number of people who are having difficulties? Interest rates have increased.
Yes. Like I think when we compare now to, say, 12 months ago, there has been a small uptick. And I think it's fair to say the banks haven't seen this. The non-bank lenders haven't seen it. It's probably more likely within the retail credit service firms. Because, of course, they've had people with difficulty with debt in the past may well have difficulty again. But I think the crucial thing is this, and the central bank, we're very firm in our discussions with them. We have a very strong central bank code. Lenders have a responsibility to put a solution. So there's no shame or there's no fear in speaking to your lender. That's the crucial point here, Claire. We've got to get to a point, if you have a difficulty, you have to speak to your lender. And they have an obligation under the central bank codes to provide you with a solution to get you through this phase. Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate, like, this is a cost of living crisis where we've seen interest rates rise in the last year. Thankfully, you know, the second lowest interest rate rise of the 20 member states of the Eurozone has been in this country. So lenders get it. They understand. You know, in other countries, we've seen a much more significant rise in interest rates than here. And that's because lenders are conscious of the cost of living.
But if you do get in trouble with your mortgage and you contact the bank or whoever you owe the money to, you do have to answer a series of difficult questions, don't you? I mean, it's not just a gentle conversation. Well, you can pay us back next month. You have to go through everything that you spend.
It's set out by the central bank. It's called a standard financial statement, an SFS. And, you know, it's... So I don't think people find it invasive, but the lender needs to get a sense of where you are. And like lots of people get into difficulty. You know, so 100,000 mortgages have been restructured in the last decade. 85% of them are sticking to that restructure. A lot of work has gone on in the industry. We've actually seen a reduction, thanks to the credit servicing firms, of long-term arrears, making real progress there.
Now, Simon Harris had a right go at the banks, I'm sure you will have heard. He said that it was utterly offensive for Irish banks to be complete and utter laggards when it comes to passing on the benefits to those who have money on deposit. This was in relation to interest rates. What was your reaction to that blistering attack?
Well, listen, you know, if we're laggards when it comes to passing on savings rates, we must also be laggards when it comes to passing on the full effect of the ECB rate rise. Because, as I said to you, of all the countries in the Eurozone, we're the second lowest. And if I take the UK as an example, this time last year, a two-year fixed rate product in the UK was 2.5%. It's now 6%. This time last year in Ireland, on average, it was 2.8%. It's now 4%. 6% as against 4%.
Yeah, but we don't want to be compared to the UK. That's a very significant example when you think about the Liz Truss government.
Well, let's be very clear. Let's be very clear. This idea that the Irish banks and non-banks don't understand the cost of living pressures, it's borne out in the facts. And the facts are that banks in this country have passed through the second lowest increase in interest rates of the 20 member states of the Eurozone. Mm. Now, competition is key when it comes to getting better rates. We as an industry group have no responsibility for that.
We know why you've been able to do that in the banks, why the banks have been able to do that, because they've been making so much money on the deposit side.
Well, sorry, the profitability of the banking sector has certainly come back this year. And do you know what? And I'm sure I'll be attacked for saying this. We need banks to be profitable because profitability and capital are two sides of the one coin. Mm. Without capital, you can't lend.
I suppose what he was getting at, though, is it's fairness. You know, it's being fair in your dealings.
You know, the fairness argument I get, I heard Padraig Hassan make that very point. And the fairness argument is important, but it's fairness for everyone. You know, it's fairness for the 716,000 mortgage payers in terms, like, we're not putting up interest rates.
And fairness it's for the bank ECB. Shareholders, you're saying.
It's fairness for everyone. We've gone through a 10-year period, Claire, of dulled profitability. Two of those years, banks were losing money.
AIB, 1.2 billion profits for the first 6 months of the year. It's extraordinary, isn't it?
Isn't it right, in a circumstance where 10 years we had dulled profitability, you know, that it's good news for the government because the taxes from banks, I mean, banks paid in excess of 400 million in taxes last year. That will go up this year because profitability is up between the levy and corporate tax. But I mean, would you be making the same point about, for instance, agri-foods businesses, our pharmaceuticals, our digital companies? Banking is a commercial industry.
But most people listening to this programme don't have money on deposit in those industries.
Well, most people, they could buy their drugs from those companies or they could buy products from those companies. Banking is a commercial industry and it needs to be profitable on a sustainable basis. One-year blips.
People don't forget, though, that it was a profitable industry that was carried through by the taxpayer during the crash.
Also need to know that 96% of the money, 96% of the 29.6 billion that went into AIB, Bank of Ireland and Permanent TSB, 96% of that has been repaid. Mm-hmm. And the remaining shareholding in AIB and Permanent TSB, the objective is to get that back to the taxpayer so that, like, we know what happened in the past, but we have to move on from the past.
Yeah, and you've said that before here in the programme. How would you feel about a windfall tax like they have in other European countries on the profits?
So we have it. It's called a banking levy. And it's been in place now for 8 years. And we'll wait and see what comes out of the budget. It's a matter for the minister, obviously.
Would the banks be pushing back hard against it happening?
Well, from an industry perspective, see, we used to have 12 banks in this country. And then we'd 9, then we'd 7, then we'd 5. And then we've 3. Mm-hmm. If we want to attract more banks to this country, and because I mean, our mandate is around competition as an industry body, trying to encourage the landscape. The question I'd ask is, on a long-term basis, by having an additional tax, a levy, does that actually help? I mean, Ulster Bank, yeah, they were bailed out by the British taxpayer, yet they had to pay the tax. So there's a lot of anomalies with the tax, but we'll wait and see what happens.
Unintended consequences, yeah. You're saying. You mentioned Jennifer Carroll McNeill, who was on this programme earlier in the week. And both herself and Simon Harris have mentioned the credit unions and their expansion into the mortgage market. And she was telling us, it doesn't matter what credit union you belong to, you'll be able to get a mortgage from any credit union in the country. And she has said in other places and in other interviews, the credit union movement has retained a physical presence in every town in Ireland. Credit unions are staying. Simon Harris praised the credit unions as well. And the government seems to be very much in favour of credit unions being in big competition with the banks. They seem to have a leaning towards credit unions expanding.
So most people won't know this, but the credit union movement is members of BPFI. There are members. The Irish League of Credit Unions and CUDA are members.
Do you get my point, though, that government seems to be pitting the credit union movement against the banks?
I know journalists and commentators and the media and everyone else might like to pit this, you know, the banks against credit unions. It's the Irish lending landscape that I'm interested in. And the Irish lending landscape...
I'm asking you whether you feel that the government is doing that. Not me. I didn't say with the credit unions, they understand their members. There's a better connection. They're much more accessible. They're the words of the minister.
Yeah, no, I know that. We're encouraging it. We want to see more credit union mortgages. 1% of all mortgages at the moment are in credit unions. They're mostly what we call institutional credit unions, nurses, Gardaí, other professionals groups who have about 1%. It would be great if we increase that further. They're our members. Mm-hmm. They're part of the landscape. The Irish banks have no objection whatsoever.
So when you talk to AIB and Bank of Ireland, they're fine with the credit unions coming
Absolutely.
In. They're fine with the government telling people that they should go and
we want to see more competition. The banks are absolutely fine with that. It's important that we have a variety of choice out there. But I will say this to you. The mortgage business is a very difficult business. It's a long-term relationship. Clare Byrne, 20, 30-year mortgage, whatever. You know, it's a number of cycles that Clare Byrne goes through in terms of the economy over that 20, 30-year period. You're frequently, your front book and back book have to be properly provisioned for. It's a dangerous business in many ways, particularly in this country, because a lot of the laws in this country are quite unique as against other countries, particularly on the enforcement of security, non-performing loans alike. So like the mortgage business, everyone's looking at the mortgage business. So we're very much open to having new players come on the pitch. And I think the credit unions, people like David Malone, Irish League of Credit Unions, you know, really wants to professionalise working with us on things like payments, on anti-fraud measures, AML.
I'm over time, but I just want to ask you about what we saw on Primetime last night, horror stories from homeowners affected by MICA. We had an email from one of those people this morning asking me to ask you how the banks are going to help people who can't live in the house they're paying the mortgage on. They're renting a property. They're waiting for this support money from the government. Can you bridge it?
So we've had a really good discussion with the MICA group on insurance and banking. I think we've met them 4 times now. They've asked us to do a number of things, and we're working with the Department of Housing to see if we can resolve that. The biggest issue that they face is around finance, because if your house is to be demolished, you go through the engineer's report, you get whatever the state is giving you, your house to be demolished, you've no money. Mm-hmm. So we want to, where there are customers, we want to see if we can produce a product in that area. We're not there yet. Like, the new scheme only came out 2 months ago, but we're very conscious that we've responsibility as lenders to help people through this. The other thing they asked us to do was to set up a group across the Department of Housing with ourselves, insurers, construction industry. That was our proposal. The Irish banks went to the Department of Housing and said, we think the residents and ourselves need to come together rather than just play this out in the media.
There's a time imperative here, though, which I'm sure you understand, but people borrowing on credit cards, borrowing from their friends and their family.
People are facing a horrendous position. I mean, neither of us can understand the pressures that people are under. We have a responsibility to help those people, and we are going to do that. It's taking some time because the new scheme only came out by the government, and in fairness, it's 100% guarantee. I know there's issues around foundation, there's issues on demolition, but we're going to stick at it to work our way through this. And we think, like, we didn't create this problem. You know, the Irish banks are normally responsible for everything from the Kennedy assassination to this. But I mean, we didn't create this problem, but we have a collective responsibility working with the insurers and construction industry and others to see if we can sort it out.
Brian Hayes, thank you very
much, Claire,
for coming in. Right, we're going to take a break. Coming up afterwards, Evelyn O'Rourke has been hearing about a beach clean.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.